right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls around the world, welcome to the Dad Timeout Show, episode 29, There's a Light. Tonight, we've got a lot of stuff to talk about. The guys will be coming around the corner in just a second. To be provided, we will have a beverage that Aisha Curry created. Not personally, of course, but we will be having one of those in just a second. We're going to be talking dad jokes with one of my favorite guests coming up next. Then we're going to go into the round top. We'll be talking a little bit about the inauguration, which took place yesterday as we tape. We're going to be talking about a wind event. We have Ben back. We have shout-outs. We have our teacher of the week, who we absolutely love. So stay tuned for that. We're going to be sharing a quote that came across yesterday, and it's been one of our favorites, and we've been talking about it all week, or actually all day. We'll also be doing our tweets of the week, where we'll be having some fun with encyclopedias. Remember them? We'll be talking Google Food Funny, and we're going to be opening up a can of something down there. Our smart article by Smart Person tonight comes from Fatherly, and the title is All Parents Offer Empty Promises and Hollow Threats. Do they work, and how do they affect your children? We're going to be taking through to 3, 2, 1, go. We'll be playing a little smarter than a fifth grader, and then we always wrap with things that make us smile. Speaking of things that make me smile, I'd like to welcome our guest out. What's your name, ma'am?
Lola.
Lola, how are you? Did you bring a guest out as well tonight?
Yes.
And who is that?
His name is August.
August, and what is August exactly? We were trying to figure it out off air.
He's either an ostrich or an emu. We're trying to find it out.
An ostrich or an emu. Interesting. All right. Well, your main mission, your goal post-pizza tonight is to come out here and deliver a joke. What joke do you have for us tonight, my favorite lady?
Are you ready for it?
I'm ready.
What did the snowman say to the other snowman?
What did the snowman say to the other snowman? I don't know.
Anyone else smelling some carrots around here?
Am I not smelling some carrots around here? That's a good one, Lola. Good job. All right, well, I'll let you go. I know you were playing with your brother, and the guys are coming around the corner in a couple seconds. Welcome to the Dad Timeout Show. Coming up, the round top.
Gathered together from the cosmic reaches of the universe, here in this great hall of justice, are the most powerful forces of good ever assembled, dedicated to truth, justice, and peace for all mankind.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Dad Timeout Show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls around the world, welcome to the Dad Timeout Show. Good evening, gentlemen. Welcome back.
Hello. Hey.
Good boys.
Is it just me, or do we time our podcasts around events that affect the entire world?
Seems like
because
that.
Once again,
we
have a global event yesterday. We had the inauguration, which, not making light of the inauguration, it was, I don't know, did you watch it?
I watched it.
Yeah?
So oh, yeah.
I kind of watched it pretty much all day.
Yeah.
The performances, the poetry, the speeches, the pageantry. I mean, I've watched everyone. No matter what side of the aisle you sit on, it's must-see TV if you really just want to see the depth of all the government and the things that go on. I thought it was poignant and beautiful at times. And the poets... she was just Amanda Gorman. Just
amazing.
Blew me. I've watched that 5 times now. But yeah, so that was all of us yesterday. Obviously, we have a new president now, and things are in motion on that front.
Wait, what?
So that's why I pulled out part of one of her quotes to title our episode. There's a Light. And, you know, we always hatch our little pot around optimism and try to find the bright light no matter what's going on. As we speak, California's still, you know, we're very heavy with COVID. And I think we could talk about it, too. Your kids have now gone back to school. And
yeah, my kids are back this week for the first time since March of 2020.
Mm-hmm. Lucky you.
So it's a big thing.
Yeah, and we're not.
Two of three. So, you know.
Two of three.
It's a private school situation?
Yes. Yes. Cool.
So, yeah. And then there's other parents that are in other boats, but it's the same way around the country, rinse and repeat. Some states are very lenient and some states are going for it and some states are on lockdown. So, you know, we're empathetic with everything that's going on out there, but we're not really here to break that all down. There's not enough hours in the day. We come for 50 minutes of chill.
That's right.
50 minutes of optimism. As we say, we're not experts, but we listen to them, we react to them, and we share what we've learned. In our podcast, you'll find there's a little bit of pop culture, a lot of parenting, as we are four dads with 12 kids between us currently. Anybody have any news?
Not that I know of.
Nope. All right, still at four dads, 12 kids. You know, we talk about it, but I like to repeat it for new listeners, just, you know, put the ears on and come have fun with us. It's your place to put your feet up or down. If you're exercising or driving or food shopping or anything like that, it's a nice way to kick back and listen to some dorky dads.
Dorky?
Speak for yourself.
Dorky. I wish we had a dork in the crowd as we had major engineering issues tonight, but we figured it out and we think we're going to be okay. So, Ben, you're back. How does it feel to be back in the States? For those who don't know, Ben got back from Holland a little while ago. If you listened to our last podcast, he was just kind of re-entering there. Has it gotten any easier, any harder? How has it been for you and your family?
Well, you just teed it up by saying that we try to stay optimistic, so maybe I shouldn't say anything.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah. You don't have to raise your hand here. We'll just go right into our shout-outs because I've interacted with a lot of great people this week. We've had Becoming Men, Eddie B on Instagram is fantastic. This is the part of the show, by the way, where we do mention people we've interacted with or interfaced with on the Twitter, the Instagram, the Facebook. We've got some new Facebook friends, too. I did see we have a new fan. Wait for it. Malaysia.
Oh, yes.
Wow,
yes.
Really?
Yeah, just one. But I'll take it.
It's a tidal wave.
Yes, and then India as well. So that was their new countries. I tell you, we got to get the flags going around the backyard here. Yeah. Just to paint the room for you, we are outdoors, distanced, long cords, et cetera, as we've been forced out of our normal studios into the backyard. So if you hear a dog barking or a plane flying over or somebody bumping some hip-hop on my street, just hang on and roll with us, and we'll have some fun. Quick shout-out, too, to Apocalypse Daddy. He's just put out a book, by the way. It's really cool. The Say It Southern podcast, which I listened to on a walk this week. I try to listen to a couple podcasts every week. Carrie Piscini, hello. Dr. Kim Swales and Parent Compass, all Instagram accounts that we've kind of hung out with. And I'll just get right to our Teacher of the Week. It's a new thing we started to do, or maybe I started to do it, but one of the hidden heroes in all of this craziness are the teachers. And we as parents are seeing just exactly really how hard their jobs can be and have been on minimal funds and resources for years. I've always had a feeling, but you just don't know until you've really seen behind the curtains like we have, especially the last 7 or 8 months. But our Teacher of the Week this week is Eddie B. Comedy. I saw him on the Instagram recommended by a friend, and I'm just going to read straight from his bio because I don't want to mess it up. Eddie B. has established himself as the official voice of teachers across the globe, educators from America to Africa, Dallas to Dubai, New York to New Delhi, and beyond are getting a lesson in the funniest ways to express their worst frustrations and their love every second. Eddie B's uncensored, raw, and hysterically realistic portrayal of a teacher's hectic life from the point of view of an actual teacher. He's really a funny day brightener if you stumble upon him on Instagram. And I will just finish with this quote as we jump into our lighter portion, which is our Tweets of the Week. But it was from Amanda Gorman, who spoke yesterday during the inauguration. 22-year-old, she was the youngest inaugural poet in U.S. history. And I know today she's been all over everything, including her full reading in the New York Times. And her Instagram is amazing. She's been documenting every step of the way, and she's just so excited and incredible. One of my favorite parts of it, she says, "We will raise this wounded world into a wondrous one. There is always light, if we're only brave enough to see it, if only we're brave enough to be it." Mm-hmm. So thank you, Amanda Gorman. Coming up next, we're going to round the bend, change gears, and get into our tweets of the week. Insert car noise.
Time now for the tweets of the week. Tweet, tweet, tweet.
All right, it's time for our tweets of the week, and we kind of try to draw a theme in here somewhere. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't thematically, but nonetheless, the parents on the Twitter are some of the funnier parents out there, and it brightens my day even when I'm trying to cherry pick these from the vast sea known as Twitter. This one is from @LizerReal, @LizerReal, and she says, explaining to my kids that before the internet, you'd have to write a 3-page paper from a 3-sentence encyclopedia entry. Did you have encyclopedias as a kid?
Oh, dude, yeah, the man. Whole set, man. The salesman came by the door and everything.
We had so both cool. The World Book and the Britannica.
And the parents couldn't afford them all at once, so we had to get like one at a time. Did you have that? You didn't have that.
Part of the problem with them is that they're actually kind of timely, so the ones I was using were from my sisters were young, and I was 7 and 10 years younger than my oldest sister. So the information was very, I didn't think it was timely, but yeah, I mean, you had to go with what you had. But yeah, we had the whole set.
I remember a certain joy I had. I was addicted to encyclopedias and atlases, and I used to love to lay on the floor in my grandpa's living room just pouring through those gigantic world atlases.
Those are so cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I kind of, for these kids growing up, we have those books, but they're not used as a regular resource. Like, it's funny when I do this stuff, each time I think, I need to bring that back. I need to point at our encyclopedia. We do have encyclopedias right in there. I need to point and say,
yeah,
go find Madagascar, dude. Figure out what the resources are, what the animal is.
It's like teaching a kid to use a rotary telephone nowadays, right? But it's like, what if the internet, we've had our internet down all week, and you would swear that, like, you know, World War III.
Yeah, it's interesting. Their teachers are onto it. They're not naive that the kids are just Googling or just asking Siri what this is, what that is. Teachers are figuring it out, it's like, no, you cannot cite Wikipedia. You must actually go to a publication and figure that out. But I remember just spending hours at the library and just being in my own place. And then you'd only find, like, literally, like she says, you find 4 sentences on your topic and you're like, oh, I don't know anything about that tribe. And then you're off. Well, on the same note, @CrockettForReal says, my kids asked me how to spell dessert and dessert. I should say desert and dessert. So I told them to type it both ways and just see what emojis pop up.
I'm going to use that.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And again, I try to catch myself as a parent. I have heard my 6-year-old in the kitchen say, hey, Google, what is 4 plus 3?
No.
I know, right? It happens. You turn your back for 1 second because we have those little darn assistants, which are a blessing and a curse. But I do finally, like, I oddly find that if I'm talking about a hammer in the backyard, the hammer will appear in my Instagram feed like a hammer ad. So
that's kind of creepy.
Believe what you want or not about Chris, you're more digitally savvy. What do you think about assistants?
The little tiny ones. Hey, man, I don't think we could go back to life without them, right? Can we? I don't know.
We are getting dumber, that's for sure.
Man. Yeah, but I think by choice, right? It's like we don't need to memorize maps anymore and print them out. We don't need to remember everyone's phone number anymore. We don't need to learn how to write cursive. You know, there's just some things that kind of fade away.
Wow. But in this context, in this space, what we're talking about, I guess our concern is what do we want to pass on to the kids, right? Like, what are we afraid that they're going to, like, you know, miss? What skills, what life skills, what, like cognitive skills are we afraid that are going to be lost in this generation?
You're going to miss a time when you're going to be driving down a field someplace and you're going to need a map and you're going to actually need to be off of your phone, your GPS. I'm telling you, I've been places where it's been the middle of nowhere, and man, knowing how to read a map is vital.
I'll concur that because we took our trip this summer, and we were, like, in the middle of Utah on a two-laner or the middle of Idaho, and there was no internet. I mean,
what?
Not in our car.
Chris doesn't go anywhere with this no internet.
Yeah, man. That's when I just, like, curl into a ball and just wait it out.
I mean, part of me, yeah, so we brought out the map, but we found that the kids loved tracing our route and seeing what was coming next.
Of course.
So I think there's little tricks to get them there. Maybe I'm getting older now. Well, no, as a fact, I am getting old. But I do see, like, I wonder how I got around L.A. for 2 years.
Right.
Thomas guide.
Because you had to.
We'd call somebody and be like, all right, you good for 5:30? And then you just go and try and find it with a Thomas guide.
With your, and also your just sense of direction, which truly may get, like, it may, like, not, I wouldn't say evolve, but adapt dumber. Over a few generations, our kids, like, sense of direction, it could truly be so dulled. I'm inspired to make my kids use a map on our next trip. You know, make them show us the way with a big old map spread out.
Well, ours are slowly doing that. Now, someone just mentioned, I wasn't looking, multiplication tables. That's been interesting, too, because as a kid, I would drilled multiplication. Like, we used to have races in second grade.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember my teacher used to put a balloon up with the amount of seconds it took you to get through the twos, the fives, the sixes. And it was a certain joy when you got up to the double digits, and you're like, I know 11 times tables. Ours, because it's such a base for what all the stuff, but we're also getting curveballed with Common Core as well, which is a whole other episode and a whole other topic. But I went old school and just brought flashcards, and that's how we did it. And we learned that in state capitals, dang it. They're going to know the capital. Do you know the capital of New Hampshire? Anybody?
Nobody. New Hampshire City. Yep.
All right, we're going to switch gears here. The Life Pits, not from New Hampshire City, at Life Pits, LIFEPITTS. Have you ever eaten your 3-year-old's pancake because it wasn't Mickey Mouse enough? I see you. I am you. That is the sad truth about my weight gain. Fish sticks.
Pancakes.
Dino nuggets. An ear of a pancake that didn't, you know, went a little south. I can't, you know, it's hard for me temptation-wise, especially pandemic, because we're all in the house all the time. But, yeah, I just have to stay out of the kitchen. That's my main problem. But I totally get that.
We used to call my dad the garbage disposal. And this is a different generation. We'd push all of our leftovers to him. I try and be really careful about, like, that. I'll leave it. I'll scrape it.
I force my kid with the Jedi mind trick to order this other entree that I want to eat. So I'm like, don't you feel like really chilaquiles? Smart. That's really good. So that I can, because I know that she eats like a bird, and then I get double entrees.
Oh, my gosh. I guess I do that, too. I never knew until now.
Yeah, see?
The chimichanga. Get the chimichanga.
Yeah, you think you want that, right?
That's awesome.
It is true. It is true. My friend Dean I worked with him for a little bit on a television show, and he used to bring in all his kids' extra food. I'd be like, why? Like a half a slice of pizza, a quarter of a sandwich.
That's
like
weird.
All this rogue stuff. And I'm like, Dean, he's like, wow, it's going to go to waste if I don't. So he kind of timed it in another way.
That's another level.
That's dad life.
Well, my kids are getting bigger now, so usually there's little to spare, meaning, like, they will finish, for the most part, their thing. But, yeah, I'm definitely down with that. I need to do a better job of staying clear of the kitchen. All right, just two different ones just to spice it up down this tweet stretch. The first one's from Cellapaz, Cellapaz. And this happens to me quite a bit when I forget what day it is, because I think I'm in that mode anymore. If you really want to crush someone's soul, wish them a happy weekend on a Tuesday.
That's the worst.
That is.
I hate when that happens.
Happy
Friday.
Every day Tuesday. I go to work and they're like, hey, it's Tuesday. It's this many days away from Friday. I'm like, wow, that's like, I don't want to think about that. But every day of the week, it's like the whole... It's the conversation at the front desk when I get my temperature scanned.
See, that's why I just don't recognize the days. It's better not to know, guys.
I don't subscribe to days.
I don't.
I do just because in a weird weekendy way, and I never felt this way pre-pandemic, I know on a Friday at 1 o'clock, there will be no more school that I have to figure out. And I know, and I really, I look forward to the holidays, the long weekends, just as much as they do at this point. Even this week, it was Martin Luther King Day, was Monday, and my wife and I looked at each other on Tuesday, and we're like, oh, all right, it's already Tuesday. Like, we couldn't wait to plow, mow down the week and just get it out of the way. And I think part of that, too, is we know there's a light at the end. Like, it's coming. I mean, I just got my very first COVID notification, which tells me you have to sign up for it. It's a, I'll send you the link. So at least in California, this is what you do in our area. And then it will give you a guesstimate on what time you are on the cycle levels and stuff like that. And I'm not a frontline worker. I'm not an educator.
For the vaccine.
For the vaccine.
Right. Okay.
So point being, like, I am kind of trying to speed the mental clock. Like, oh, if we get to June, then we're almost there. From what I'm gathering today, by the fall, we should, if things go correctly, knock on something, we should be almost semi-normal by the fall. So, I don't even mess around with telling people it's Tuesday. It's just not worth it to break their hearts. This is from @OzCar, just to round it off. It's just made me laugh, and I don't care if it makes you laugh or not. Not the listener, of course. I hope you laugh in your vehicle or on your Peloton or wherever you're doing. Is it still safe to use a can of whoop-ass after its expiration date?
Yes. Actually, it condenses, and therefore it becomes more powerful if you use it after expiration.
I did use whoop-ass recently, and I haven't used it. No, it was, I got the Evel Knievel toy. I meant to show you guys.
You did show us.
You did. It was awesome. Awesome.
Yeah,
thank you. Yeah, it was awesome. What is it? Like, I'm here to chew bubblegum and kick some ass, and I'm all out of bubblegum.
Dude, where are the men?
I got some 2002 whoop-ass I've been holding on to actually use probably next year.
I don't think our whoop-ass is the same as when we were kids, because my dad's whoop-ass was a whole different brand, I think, when you pull the can out and you hear the belt loops. Well,
they sold it. They sold, the company got sold. I think therefore, they got sold, that's what happened. It actually changed up, you know.
Interesting.
So the formula of the whoop-ass.
I do
it's
like
a different product.
I do like the image, if you really dive deep mentally, to what a can of whoop-ass might look like. And then you open it. Like, you looked at your buddies after a game, you'd be like, I'm going to open a can of whoop-ass if you do that to me again. Like, just picture the actual cartoon of, like, going to the corner, opening a can, hearing a little click in the opening.
Two little buns on the top.
I just picture
there.
Bruce Lee jumping out and doing something, or Chuck Norris or something.
Evel Knievel would have opened up.
Yes.
So anyway, Evel Knievel's another story. All right, well, that was a good rabbit hole to finish on. That was Tweets of the Week. Thank you, Oscar, Celepaz, Life Pits, Croc for Real, and Lizard Real. All very funny parents, and we will shout you out. Coming up next, we will change gears the other direction to smart articles by smart people. And we're going to be talking about parents' promises and threats, but do they harm in the long run? Coming up next, smart articles by smart people.
Smart articles by smart people.
All right, guys, this is Smart Articles by Smart People. This article this week came from Jillian Mock. I hope I'm saying her name correctly. From Fatherly. Funny, I actually kind of ran out of ideas here and there, and I will turn to my creative well, otherwise known as my wife. And I said, hey, here's a few articles. What one do you think would be interesting to talk to the guys about? And she didn't even blink, and this one came out. So I must be screwing something up in the house. It's called All Parents Offer Empty Promises and Hollow Threats, But Do They Do Harm? And the subheader is, when a child acts out, is it all too easy to make a promise or threat parent has no intention or ability to keep, but that could hurt your relationship in the long run? So, you know, we talked about this before, and I always, as a parent, I am very transparent. I make tons of mistakes, but I do look to the new day every day like, okay, I royally screwed that up, or I shouldn't have snapped, or I shouldn't have yelled, and then I try to fix it. And now that problem's gotten exponentially worse, because as I listen to these smart articles by smart people, and I listen to podcasts with psychologists and psychiatrists as we hope to gain our interview Rolodex, you know, moving forward. I really am making mistakes, and I'll admit it, sure. But I do come home, and then I'm like, okay, I can literally see what I did wrong, and now I'm going to try and curb that behavior and point the mirror at myself. And this was a little bit of that. This was a little bit of that for me. I do say I laugh with mine because we may have talked about, I'm a professional announcer, voiceover guy. I announce in the NFL, but I have can get very megaphone-y, loud kind of. So I have levels in my house, and the kids know it. It's like there's the kind ask, then there's the heavier ask, and then there's the announcer voice ask. they don't want to get to that third one, monster truck.
Sunday.
You better pick that up. Get that Lego up!
That's awesome.
But... you know, even today, and I want to talk about this podcast later, I have a great recommendation for listeners, but I caught myself in a moment with my middle, and I didn't think I handled it right, so I came home, sat on his floor, looked him in the eye, and I just said, hey, I just want you to know that what we were working on was very difficult, and I should have been more thorough with you as we went through this particular, it was math, to be honest. It was math problems that I thought he had studied for, but he didn't, and he was having trouble with it at the table, but I was in the middle of 60 things getting ready for this, and I'm like, but you can't turn down your child, so then you sit down, and then it threw me behind the eight ball, but that's okay. But when I took a quick walk to prep for the show, I came back and I had that moment. So I have those with this type of stuff. What did you guys extract out of this, if anything? And you don't have to answer. And is there anything you would fix moving forward?
I mean, I think you nailed it right on the head there, where like the article, the one thing that kind of stood out to me was like you immediately are thinking about your own feelings and anger.
Yes.
So that's natural. But like, you know, if you can sort of zoom out and then like look at and empathize with what they're feeling, it might change that perspective. So definitely, I think that's one of the pieces I took away, was just more like, I know that, you know, initially your first response is going to be your anger, but then, you know, take a beat and look at what they do. And, you know, being a parent of like, you know, athletes, you know, I would say that, you know, those prizes and promises that you make are pretty critical. Like, because once you lose that trust or they don't believe that you're going to do it, then it's pretty much game over. Like my whole philosophy of coaching and any sports is pretty much based on Skittles and candy or whatever sure. That reward is going to be. But it works for me. But I do know that if I, you know, promise something and don't deliver, that the next time they're a little bit more reluctant to like follow through, because, you know, I've like eroded that trust with them. So
well, that's the key word is follow through, right? Like, I mean, mine are all, you know, 11, 8 and 4. And if we make an empty threat, yeah, I mean, they're too clever. So as you guys know, I don't do much reading. So I didn't read it, but the title,
the article, he's
the article,
referring
of course.
To,
yeah. But the article, you know, the title said it all, like, and then I just thought, yeah, you got it. We just really make a point of following through, making the punishments be, relate somehow to the, infraction. And then, and just also, like you said, MK, like making sure that your kids know you're not perfect. Like as you know, my 11-year-old, now I can go and say, she's starting to realize I'm not perfect. Believe it or not, guys, and just going to her and saying, you know, I am not perfect, Daisy. I mess up all the time, and that just, I don't know, that just, that helps. That makes us closer.
Yeah, I mean, the article is interesting because I've actually been focusing a lot on this, which is why I loved the article, because I was like, oh hey, so the threat has to be followed up. It cannot be something that is. You know, you gotta, or else they don't believe what you say. You say, hey, you do this or that. If you don't do that, then they're never going to do this again. And I had that instance this evening where I asked my youngest to do something. He didn't want to do it. He did one of the multiple chores that I needed him to do. He decided not to do it. I took his iPad away. He knew that it was there was consequences. We had conversations about it. But then the thing that actually really hit me about the article was about the reward part, because the punishment part of this was something that I am really good at. Unfortunately, the reward part, like if you do this, you'll get this, is something that, you know, hey, if we get this all done, we'll get to watch a movie. And I don't always follow through with that. And that's the part, the trust part, that I'm going to have to focus more on myself to make sure that, hey, if I'm going to promise something, I have to deliver the promise. Just like if I say, hey, if you do this, this is the consequence, I have to make sure. And I've been better on the consequence part, but I need to be better on the reward part, because that positive reinforcement, like the article said, is like gold. And it's an evolving process, like you were saying, MK. It's something that, and I do that. I'll sit down sometimes if I realize that my reaction wasn't the way that it should have been, and I'll say, hey, you know what, this didn't work out the way that I had hoped, and I'm not perfect, and I love you, and I'm doing the best I can. And that's the kind of thing that realism. I asked my youngest today, is this how you want your children to treat you? And he looked at me, he said, no. I said, well, so everything you do, think about how you want your kids to treat you and treat me that way, so that you're showing me that, you know, you respect me, and then your kids will hopefully respect you when you're a dad. So anyway.
Well, yeah, it's so funny, because I read this and I was thinking about this one, but I was trying to cram in another podcast because I'm constantly trying to do that. And the guy talked about a couple of the things that go on in these conversations. And he said, you know, instead of focusing on the negative of the situation, give them something to work with, you know, give them confidence to take the best thing out of that and work with it, instead of saying you're bad or you didn't do this right or you didn't do this. So that thought that was really interesting. And then the other one he said was put yourself in their situation. So he used the example of, every parent goes through this, right? You're running late, Taekwondo class is in 20 minutes, and insert child A can't find their shoes, or they're just dawdling on purpose, and you're really kind of getting in a rush. So, like, if you think about it in the announcer tones, there's the first, come on, let's go. Then it's like, come on, let's go. And then it's like, come on. He's like, if you put yourself for a second into what the child is hearing and what the child is conveying, you will understand more. Maybe he or she doesn't want to go because the kids in that class don't like him. Maybe he doesn't have a positive experience there. Maybe they're sweating it out because they know it's multi-instructional and they get behind. If it's a baseball field or a dojo or a, you know, so his advice was like, really think about that's not going to get you where you need to go. You have to be way more empathetic about the situation, which in turn will build an empathetic kid in the long run.
More about, why are they doing that?
Why are they acting out? What is the reasoning behind that? Now, I agree with what you guys were saying on the punishment and
reward
stuff too, because I think we're all kind of practicing that. But that was a really interesting podcast that I caught today, and I'll dive more into that as we move forward. But
what a lot of this article talked about was also empathy, which, you know, teaching your kids to be empathetic, being empathetic to them, and that's a lot of what you're saying, is trying to understand the deeper meanings as to what's the underlying reason why they're not getting whatever done. So empathy, that was another huge takeaway from this article as well, is just being empathetic, teaching empathy and being empathetic.
Right, yeah. It's, you know, and the psychologist I listened to today was, he said, you're going to make thousands of mistakes, thousands. No one gets this right. He's like, but just learn and try and grow with each little nugget, each little experience, each little tidbit. And what they have found very interesting, and I'll end it with this even. He said, what he has, in, at least in his practice, was he was talking about, and I'm sorry to diverge two different sources here, but or converge. He gets a lot of people that are trying to break their generational cycle. So that's the way their parents did it. So that's the way they're doing it. That's the way this person's dad got stuff done with me. So now I'm going to do that with my kids. But he said what he's finding is that it's kind of a smarter, more thoughtful generation. And people are really looking, taking the mirror and looking back, like, and trying to break those generational cycles of the negative stuff that they may have experienced as a kid.
So and just to throw something in really quick, not to drag this out, but that's actually something that's really would be interesting to talk about in the future in terms of how each of us and our spouses have had different upbringings and how what they think and what we thought going into that, into a marriage and children and whatnot, differs in terms of that sort of thing. Because not wanting to be like my parents, yeah, but, you know, what if, what, anyway.
No, it's
a whole different dynamic.
It's all good food for thought. And this is, as we get away, really, because our shows have been sporadic last year, more in tune this year, but they're always falling on current events. So I feel like we're getting sucked into a St. Patrick's zone or a 4th of July zone or a Thanksgiving Halloween zone. But there's a lot of very rich subject matter, you know, as we get deeper down and distill our podcast further. So thank you for listening to that, everybody. The two podcasts that I really enjoy parenting, if you want to, the Calm Parenting Podcast is what I was listening to today. Calm Parenting Podcast. Just Google it. He's everywhere. And Connecting with Dr. Kim Swales. I've mentioned her before, but those two are now kind of branching me out into others as well. But especially the Calm Parenting Podcast, he gives you nuggets because he wants you to do a little more. But, you know, 20 minutes, 6 minutes, 10 minutes. So it's a lot. It's a great place to go. But we do want to give full props to the article from Fatherly. Thank you very much. And the author, of course, was, drumroll, Miss Jillian Mock. Thank you. Coming up next, 3, 2, 1, go.
Time out for 3, 2, 1, go.
All right, it's time for 3, 2, 1, go. I hear that clinking noise. That must mean it's time to talk about our beverage of the evening. As I see, I don't know if you could see that far, Jen. Chris has basil stuck to his lip. What are we having for our beverage of the evening, and where did it derive from?
Tonight, you are enjoying a beverage from the fabulous Aisha Curry cookbook called The Full Plate, which I love her quote on the side, which says, flavor-filled, easy recipes for families with no time and lots to do. Mm-hmm. And you are having the All About That Basil.
Don't you know I'm all about that basil? Not that basil, no trouble. I'm all about that basil.
About that basil.
Well, thank you for your kind words, young lady, and thank you for the delivery. I will owe you one. I will even
MK, get her number.
She's a keeper. Oh, that one.
Write my number on that napkin.
That's our last. That was our last segment. So, yeah, he'll get your number.
That was our beverage of the evening. We do have one now every episode. Last one came from someone, and we showed it off on the Instagram, and as we will, Coco Cashmere.
Airmail. Airmail.
Now we're on to All About That Basil.
That basil.
All right, guys, this is really 3, 2, 1, go. It's just fast moving, makes you think or not. It's pretty silly, but it lightens the load. No pun intended. What's worse, laundry or dishes in your world? Ooh. Laundry or dishes?
No.
He goes dishes out of the gate.
Folding the laundry.
It's hard that because sucks. They're both never ending. Right? It's one of those cyclical things.
I like dishes.
I say dishes are worse.
I love doing dishes.
I'll say two things. Come on over. Two things. I like dishes.
Yeah.
Because I love to. I'm weird. At the end of the night, I love to hear the dishwasher humming. I like the smell of. We use Method squirty on our counters. And I love the smell of that. I love everything organized. Mm. And to me, like that says end of the night. And you hear the soft hum of the dishwasher, the kitchen's clean. I do it. I will even boot the family out because it's zen to me. Laundry, because I'm a bigger-handed, clumsy guy, I do. but I don't really necessarily love the folding part. So we have a deal in my house. I will get it to the 11th hour, and then my wife will put it away as her job. But I did write an article once about doing laundry because I had that softy sentimental feeling when I was just taking one of those tiny little pairs of socks and pairing it up. And then the kid turns 1, 2, 3, and then the tiny clothes become bigger and bigger. And then
smellier.
And smellier. We're not 100% there yet, but I see where you're going. But, you know, even giving away our baby's clothes to a better, you know, situation, it was like, oh, no. And then I know I'm going to miss the damn laundry when it's all over. I didn't miss diapers. I'm not going to lie. When the last diaper was done, I'm like, okay. Took a breath.
Bro, I knew you were a good dad, but I didn't know how good. That's weird. You like dishes? Did you? I'm just still trying to process that. That's great. Dishes. That's amazing.
Yeah. Now, God bless you. I do get reprimanded for not doing them the right way sometimes. So I place them in the dishwasher, but then I get scolded if there's a chunk of something on something. Or I like to just... I'm looking out of the corner of my eye to make sure I'm not
you
gonna,
are.
I like to just kind of do the cold water, splash around and slam them in the dishwasher. Yeah. But I do like to hum it. And I actually like the sound of the washer and dryer going in the house, especially the dryer. It's just very soothing to me. I know it's not on the Calm app. I know it's not on Headspace.
MK, you say these things all the time that sound similar to me. Can you watch an entire wash cycle? I can sit and watch a whole wash cycle. Is that weird?
Yes.
I can do
that. That's bizarre. That's bizarre.
I don't hate it. I'm not...
you know, because I do the cooking in my house, I don't want to do the dishes. And because I hang dry 80% of what I wash with, you know, doing laundry.
What?
Oh, yeah. I don't iron. So I hang dry?
Oh,
trust me. People who... So
like
so
you go into your backyard and you put up... No. It's like they did in the old timey days.
No, it's not old timey like that.
We
turned
some butter and we hung our clothes and we clean the goat pen.
It's only when he's at the ranch.
Don't talk about the goats in a derogatory fashion.
Hang dry laundry. I don't go that far. Okay, question number two. Do you believe in good luck charms? Do good luck charms work?
No.
Self-manifesting.
I don't believe, but I will still like carry the rabbit's foot and, you know, knock 3 times and do the knock on wood. I mean, just why tempt fate, right?
I'll knock on wood, yeah.
Yeah. I'm superstitious. Especially around sports. Absolutely. I will get up and move sections of the couch. I will, if I'm pacing and my team's doing bad, I will stop pacing and sit down. If I'm not wearing team gear at a certain time, I will go and get that team gear. And I have friends that are exponentially more insane about it. That will not wear a jersey once their team is lost. I know players that I've had this conversation with players at schools and stuff that will have to put on their athletic tape around their ankles a certain way, this leg first, that leg first.
So you're talking about superstition versus good luck charms.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So good luck charms are different than superstition. I completely agree with superstition.
It must be all about that basil, Mark.
It could be.
Okay, let me define it then. Good luck charms. I have lucky stuff. I do. I have a pair. This is going to sound awkward and weird, but I have a pair of Gap underwear that has fallen to shreds.
Yes.
It was washed. It's just fallen to shreds, but it's got little shamrocks on it.
Some things don't wash out, though.
And
I have the lucky boxers, too. And yeah. I always wear them when my kids are in a golf tournament because they have little golf balls on them. And it's just like something that I can't not do now.
Okay.
Because
you guys on that side.
I mean, I wash them. It's not like I don't wash them, but they're...
They have magical powers. Is that where we're at?
Magical powers.
So I have a mix, and I have superstitions, too. Like, I have to, on the way to an NFL game, I announce for a team... 49ers, I would drive the same way every time. I go to the same gas station every time to get a Cliff Bar and a thing of water, and I see the same clerk, and I listen to the same, not music, but station on the way to the game. I don't listen to sports radio. I just listen to this. I was Springsteen.
Oh, that's superstition.
I park in the same spots. superstition doesn't always work, but to me, it gives me a calm, and I feel like I did it. Every time I walk into the stadium, I listen to Freddie Mercury singing to Live Aid in my head, on my headset. And then as I walk onto the stadium floor, every time I listen to AC/DC, Walk All Over You, a song off High Voltage.
Yes.
Or is it, I think it's High Voltage. Maybe High would help. But anyway, so there's that. Long-winded answer to a very short question. Here's a good one. Can be debatable or not. Who was your favorite superhero as a kid?
Ooh.
Who was your favorite superhero as a kid?
Well, it's a multiple choice.
I'm going Flash. I mean, it was probably not the right answer, but for some reason, I really liked the Flash as a kid. You know?
I was Flash.
All right, there you go.
100%. See? And I was always mad because he didn't get more cartoon cut.
He should have had more time.
Should have had more time.
But he just ran the Flash, fast, though, right? I mean, wow. That was his thing.
Who was the spoofy, curly, blonde-headed guy?
Oh, that was a Greatest American Hero.
Greatest American Hero. That was,
are you sure? Technically, he was a superhero.
Wow.
Went wrong there? Was he his cousin that, you know, like someone's cousin that just didn't quite get all the power? What happened?
Believe it or not, oh, man. I'm walking on it. I never thought I could be so free.
Okay, then I'm sorry to break up this really bad musical rendition of that theme song, but I will say, it's a flip between the Batman, the Adam West Batman, and the Spider-Man cartoon.
Okay.
Oh, Spider-Man cartoon. Love that one.
You know, I mean, come on. You want to start singing a really good theme song?
No, hold on.
We'll go with Spider-Man theme song.
Spider-Man, friendly neighborhood Spider-Man, spins a web, and he sighs, catches thieves like a light.
Look out, here comes Spider-Man.
I know the whole song. That was a good thing.
I sing that to my son.
It's hard to beat Batman and Robin with what's his name? What's his name?
Adam West.
I know you know. What's his name?
Adam West.
And Nerdy Robin.
Bert guy.
But this is just straight superhero. Shows is a whole different ballgame.
They are
your first manifestation of that. Like Adam West is Batman. Boom, right?
For real.
As a kid, maybe the Hanna-Barbera. You know, the Super Friends was probably my first. Like our
Wonder Twin powers activate.
Yeah.
Form of
a bucket
ice.
Of water.
Yeah.
Can I say He-Man's girlfriend?
And I slide.
She-Ra. Oh my lord.
All right, here we go. This will be interesting. Do you like where you live?
I love it.
Right now?
Where I live? In California?
That's the question. Do you like where you live?
Absolutely.
No, when you were in Holland.
Pass.
I would say I love California. I would take a little more sprawl. And I don't know what it is in me. I've always enjoyed new trees, new landscaping, new look, clean, fresh, first houses.
Are we talking about Temecula track home?
I've never been, no. No, I mean, I don't want to get city specific because our listeners have no clue what we're talking about, but I've always kind of enjoyed that. I don't know, though, because I've had it all to some aspect. I've lived in the country. I've lived in the city. I've lived now in the suburbs. Am I happy where I live overall? Yes. Other than tsunamis, you should be happy where you live, Chris.
I've had a tsunami ever, but yeah, man, I feel like I live on the island of Alameda in the Bay Area, and I think that's like a little slice of Hawaii in California. So I don't know. I love it.
We're joking, listeners, because I was bicycling over in his neighborhood one day, and it's precariously even with the water.
We're at sea level.
So I texted him, and I said, hey, you ever fear tsunamis over here? He's like, every damn day. But it would be we're actually in a tsunami zone here. To here, there's actually a sign at the end of my street that says tsunami zone ends, but I would have to be like deep impact level,
yeah,
taking out the Golden Gate Bridge level tsunami. But so you're all happy where you live? You're all good?
I think the grass is always greener a little bit.
I think the grass is always greener, yes.
My house is not my forever home, although for now it's sufficient.
We are all, my friends and I are all Redfin addicts. Whereas, like, we send each other listings all the time. Like, do you see this 5-bedroom in Idaho?
Oh, like, you can't do that to yourself. Because
we could live on Lake Blah 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 in Minneapolis.
I just came out of the real estate world, and I spent a lot of time in the Bay Area market. And then whenever my wife and I travel, she likes to look at real estate wherever we go, and it becomes a issue because it's like, sweet, we could live in Montana or we could live in Wyoming. What are you going to do for a living? So, I mean, there's a lot of beautiful places in this country, like beautiful. I mean, Tennessee, which I know, MK, you've been in. I mean, I love so many parts of our country because I've visited a lot of places. But, you know, it comes down to, can I work here? Can I live here? I mean, New Orleans, Louisiana is one of my favorite places on the planet. Do I want to live there? It gets hot and muggy. I live in the Bay Area. It doesn't get hot and muggy here, like, ever.
Speaking of Tennessee, you know, I promised my cousin I would give him a shout-out tonight. Hello, Will Roy.
Hey,
if
Will.
You're listening, driving around, I hope you and your lovely wife are doing well and your two exceptional boys. Shout-out to my cousin, Will Roy. This section is sponsored by Will Roy.
Sweet.
Ben, you had one final word on this one?
I just say this is really my wheelhouse, and I think my wife and I travel a lot. I think I sleep in my own bed less days in the year than I sleep somewhere else. And what I found is, like, just, you know, if you're itchy, just go on a long trip. You don't need to be rich to go spend 3 months somewhere else. You just need to, nowadays, the way people work, just be brave and go bring the family somewhere, you know, like with a home exchange or something like that. We've done that so many times. And we live for the same expenses. In fact, cheaper sometimes when we're traveling. It's hard to believe, mm-hmm. but when we're traveling, it's cheaper because, well, for many reasons, but just be brave and take the fam. If you can work remotely, just do it, figure it out, and get that, scratch that itch. But it's good to give your kids roots. I really, really want to give the kids roots. And so, you know, dig the roots down, but travel if you got to, if you know.
Yeah, we've embraced a lot of that, too. We've been lucky. That I don't want to go too much further, but for another episode. But, yes, I agree. Getting out, roaming, doing, seeing, eating, hiking, climbing, breathing, exploring.
But roots.
Yeah, and then coming back.
They need it.
Is great. All right, finally. Easy one. What sport do you watch most often?
Golf. Is Warriors a sport?
Yeah. That's basketball, my friend.
That would be basketball. Golf?
Yeah, Chris. We're pretty much golf 24/7.
You have the golf channel? You do the golf channel thing?
A lot of golf.
Do you critique golfers on TV? Like, oh, he should have turned his wrist right
there. I'll do the, come over here. Let me rewind Rory McIlroy's takeaway, you know, that kind of thing.
Do you do it in a golf voice?
Hey. I do. Check out Rory McIlroy.
Very quietly.
Watch this. It's a really good one. He hits it from the fringe all the way to the hole. Watch it curve break to the right.
It's very peaceful and calming.
It is calming. I can't do it. That's why I can't do baseball. It's like watching paint dry to me.
Come on now.
My wife. Live? Yeah. 100%.
That's an interactive thing.
I can watch baseball on TV. I'm like a third. Baseball, football, basketball. I try to watch some soccer. I don't watch anything uniformly, so I can't answer a singular sport.
I'm all football. From the first, ESPN's gotten good and bad about it. They start with the high school games at the very top of the football spectrum, and you're seeing these top national teams. And then you know college is creeping in a couple weeks. And then the first college game day. And for me, I just, maybe it's because I went to a big D1A and I just love that pageantry of big football. And then obviously Sunday's my mecca as I work in the NFL. So we'll have it on all day on one of the screens. And I get very sad when it's over and I have to sit for 7-8 months. I know. Pathetic statement. I agree, but.
No. I actually, the season that ends that makes me the most sad is football. When football's over, it's like, oh. And I'm loving watching the playoffs this year. I actually have gotten to watch more playoff football this year than normal years, and it's been super fun watching what's going on. So.
Again, another topic that can get stretched way out. All right, so that was 3-2-1 go. Coming up next, are you smarter than a fifth grader? We're actually going to use questions from fifth grade tonight.
All right.
Good luck. Coming up next, are you smarter than a fifth grader? Otherwise known as the parent quiz, and then we'll do the show wrap.
It's quiz time! Parent quiz! Quiz, 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 quiz.
All right, it's time for the parent quiz. We've kind of meandered on this. Some days we do a specific movie. Some days we do a holiday. Tonight, we're going back to the easy well. Are you smarter than a fifth grader?
Let's hope it's easy.
And there's no multiple choices, but I will give you hints. Ooh. If that helps. These are from fifth grade history. What was the name of the last queen of France? What was the name of the last queen of France? Would you like a hint?
Marie.
Kirsten Dunst.
Antoinette. Marie Antoinette.
Marie Antoinette.
Ben comes in hot. Marie Antoinette.
Marie.
I said that before you said Kirsten Dunst.
Of course I know. Yes, you did. That's my reference point. And Sofia Coppola directed the movie. Great soundtrack, by the way.
Let them eat cake.
Marie Antoinette is the last queen of France. Who founded the Red Cross? If you listen to any of our prior episodes, this may have been...
What is her name? Clara Barton? No.
Ben, with back-to-back first responses.
No, that was actually...
That was me. Man.
Clara humble yourself, Barton. Mark.
Humble yourself right now.
Clara
Mark
Barton.
Did it. Mark did it. That was Mark.
Oh, that was me.
It was Chris.
It was Chris.
You can't distinguish our voices anymore.
Sorry, you're not watching the video portion of our show. Who commissioned the Lewis and Clark expedition? Who commissioned
that?
I'll give you a hint. Hold on. Okay. Also, the name of a famous 70s sitcom has something to do with the answer.
Starsky and Hutch.
You're wrong.
Also, a president of the United States.
Grant.
Pardon?
Grant?
You're wrong.
No.
Grant was a general.
The correct answer is Jefferson.
Is this a fifth grade question? Really?
I was going to say the Catherine.
I thought it was privately funded.
I was going to say the Catherine and Tennille, but that's just because I wanted.
So it was government.
Peaches and herbs.
Captain and Tennille.
Some muskrat
love. Will keep us together.
Right? Some muskrat love.
The modern day city of Istanbul was known by what name?
Constantinople.
Yes,
and that's a great song by The Residents.
We're not talking about that.
We can.
Is it the Residents or They Might Be Giants, Mark?
No, Residents.
Istanbul or Constantinople? That one?
That one. That's what he's talking about. But
interesting. I'm going to Google that offline.
Please do.
What is the most widely grown crop in the Middle Colonies? We all know it. Corn. The most widely grown crop of California is
corn.
It's corn.
Say corn. Corn. Anybody else?
Could be wheat.
I'm going corn.
It is wheat.
Really? What are the middle colonies? Is that where the hobbits live, or what is that?
From what I've gathered, yes.
Now there.
What are the middle colonies? I don't know.
All right, final question. Where was the region known as the Fertile Crescent located?
Is this fifth grade stuff, really?
Yes, this is from fifth grade. Fertile Crescent.
I'm going to say
the Fertile Crescent. Please don't make any bedroom references.
Is this real?
Fertile Crescent. I'm going to say, the Midwest somewhere.
Idaho.
Like Idaho. Idaho. Yes.
You're wrong.
Actually, gentlemen, it is the Middle East.
Oh.
Oh, I said Israel.
The
so.
Middle East.
Yes, we were running short on time this week, so that's going to end our quiz. Unless you'd like a bonus question.
Yeah,
we all win.
I feel like we didn't do very well on that.
No, I think we're fine. Okay. All right, coming up next, we'll do the show close. And things that make us smile.
That was silly.
All right, guys, thank you so much. I know we had a technical difficulty off the back, but the true gentlemen that we are, we figured it out, right?
Yes.
The temperature's dropped about 6 degrees since we've started the pod. I'm now breathing steam officially, but it's all about the basil.
It is.
We always kind of close the show now with things that make us smile. But before we do that, I just want to remind everybody to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. If you want to find us anywhere or share it, just put us in Google, Dad Timeout Show, and we are right there for you. We're going to continue to improve our website, our landing pages, and it's going to get better and better. We are getting toward episode 30. We're kind of getting to be the old guys on this one now, but that's exciting as well, and it's been a journey and a good one at that. So, and thank you for listening, and thank you for reciprocating a lot of our social media, too. It's a lot of fun interacting with folks, not only from Cali, but from around the world. It's really exciting to talk fatherhood, parenting, and all the good stuff. Some things that made me smile, of course, my family, but that's a gimme. I'm going to talk about 22-year-old poet Amanda Gorman. Pretty amazing. If you haven't watched her speak from yesterday's inauguration, please go YouTube it. Do yourself a favor. That definitely made me smile. And especially having two young girls in the house, there's a lot of girl power out there right now. There's a lot of positive, and there's a lot of ceilings that were broken. So that's exciting. Mm-hmm. But I'd like to talk, speaking of lovely women, Betty White turned 99, and that
She's awesome. Made me smile.
I love and have loved Betty White. She has a great quote: "Don't take yourself too seriously. You can lie to others, nor that I would, but you cannot lie to yourself," she told People. She also echoed that as her advice for living a happy and long life, having a sense of humor and taking a look at the positive side and not dwelling on the downside. Takes too much energy to be negative. Mm-hmm. And finally, this really made me smile, especially if you know what I do for a living. "If you know my career, you might understand why I appreciate and how wonderful it is that 93-year-old Navy veteran Charlie Brotman was brought back to announce the inauguration. From President Harry S. Truman in 1949 through today, or yesterday, or when you're listening to it, last week's inauguration, he's announced for 12 different presidents, the only exception being the last administration, but he was brought back. Welcome back, Charlie. I hope to hear you for years to come." So, Charlie Brotman. Mm-hmm. Mark, what made you smile?
What made me smile was tonight at dinner, my 10, almost 11-year-old daughter asked me, "How soon will this episode drop?" Because she listens to this, and because she goes to school with MK's son, she quoted many things from our last podcast. Wow. And that kind of made me like, "Oh my goodness, you are listening." She goes, "Dad, I've listened to all the episodes, and I listen to them over and over again. I can't wait for the new one."
Wow.
So that made me smile, thinking, wow.
Our biggest fan.
I've got a...
We are family friendly.
I got a kid. I got a kid who's into it. So yeah, that made me like super happy. So
that's awesome.
I know that coming here hopefully is entertaining y'all out there, as well as it's making my daughter smile. So that's wonderful. Love you, Cecilia.
All right, Ben.
I'd say... cold mornings. I love a cold, sunny morning. You see your breath get out there and get that cold air in your lungs. And then on the other side, just a cold, clear, starry night. Going outside with my daughters. And a crescent moon is my favorite. Fertile crescent in some parts of the world. But just
starry, starry night.
I knew this was a little fluffy coming in. I know it was fluffy for Ben. But pulling cold air into your lungs. I love the winter. I love clear nights and crescent moons and talking to my daughters about constellations and stuff like that.
Awesome. Chris?
I say this last week, I got a chocolate cream pie from Acadas in Auburn, California, which to me is a big treat.
Winner,
and
no
so
doubt.
That made me smile.
Chocolate cream pie.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting. Sounds delightful, though. Maybe you'll have amazing. It with steak and potatoes next Thanksgiving.
Going to the bog?
We're going to go to the bog next year with him. Dang it.
The bog.
I'll never leave
that
down. We
got some more cranberries.
All right, listeners, we love you. Fellow podcasters, I love you. I'm glad we had a good show. Well, at least in our minds. Thank you for listening and following us. Let's continue this relationship. We're having a lot of fun with everybody out there, and we will continue. And if you've got any show ideas or things you want to hear us talk about, or just want to get a good old-fashioned shout-out, just say hi, and we'll be glad to promote your podcast or, you know, whatever you're into. We're kind of like that. Rules aren't too tight around here. But the All About the Basils are.
So that's what I'm saying.
Thank All right, you cheers, guys. Producer. Dad Time Out is out.
Peace.
Thanks for listening to the Dad Time Out Show. We're out of here. We've been listening to you talk for an hour.
My turn. Hey, everybody. Can thanks for listening to a time that I was a real out of here.